I'll start the recording now. Thank you, Rabbi Rapp, for joining us. If
A
everybody could just.
pleasure as always. Nothing I could possibly think I'd rather be doing today than this. So thank you for having me, Rabbi Orly, on. So as you know, as part of the YU Smicha program, you will now in the next hour or so learn the entire Hilchos Ribbis, and we will then give you a piece of paper which indicates that you are a Bucky in Inyanei Ribbis. So for that, you might as well listen closely. The halachas of Ribbis appear in the Chumash in three different places, and each time we learn something different. The first one is in Parshas Mishpatim, Im Kesef Tal Ve'asami, right, we know this from the Yomtiv Dikleni, Yasani Macho Yeo Kenosh Rosisim Rav Neshech, right? So the first thing he says, Im Kesef Tal Ve'asami, if you're going to make a loan, right, then in fact you should not charge Ribbis, you should not charge interest on that loan. Rashi points out, the word im sounds optional generally. The word im seems to indicate that if you want to, good, and if not, you don't have to. Rashi says no. Rashi says, im kesa talami yubishwa omer kol im ve'im shebetor v'rishut chutz mishchosha v'zeh echad behem. That oftentimes people will turn around and they say, what do I need this for? Why do I have to get involved in ribis? A guy comes to me, he needs a loan. It's going to be nothing but tzaris, right? Better I should lend money to goyim. It'll be much better off. It'll be like halachically much simpler. So Rashi tells us, quotes the Gemara, that says no, that just like there is a mitzvah of tzedakah to give someone money, there's also a mitzvah of tzedakah to lend someone money. So therefore, it is not appropriate if someone avoids the shilas of ribbis by just not lending money. That's not the way to go. That is comment Rashi's first comment on Rashi on the first pasuk. The Gemara says as follows in Bava Metzia. Of course, most of the Gemaras are regarding Ribbis are in Bava Metzia. In Ezahu Neshech, very hard parak, but don't worry, you'll know it all in an hour from now. It says, Ve'elu Ovim Alosa, say, this is important. You might think that I lend you money, and I give you $10, and I want $11 back. So you think, who's over the Issa Ribbis? You think that me, the lender, I'm over the Issa Ribbis. Right, the other poor guy who in fact ends up paying ribbis, why should he be over the avera of ribbis? So the Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us no, actually everybody's in trouble. It says elu over and below sase. These are the following people that in fact are over the iser ribbis. Hamalve v'halove. First, not only the lender but even the borrower, and now that v'ha'arei v'ha'edim. Not only that, but if let's say I co-sign a loan, right? Somebody wants to take out a mortgage, and they don't have very good credit. So because they don't have such good credit, the bank says, we're not going to give you a loan. But then afterwards, I say, well, I'll co-sign for it, right? My son-in-law wants to take out a mortgage. What does my son-in-law do for a living? Sits and learns Torah. No one's going to give him a loan in their right mind. So because of that, you might think that, okay, I'm doing a favor by helping this guy get a mortgage. The Gemara tells us, no, that even the Arev, even the cosigner is also over the Issa Ribbis, right? And not only that, but the Edom, if I just sign on this document, I'm over Ribbis. The Chachamim go further. Afasofer over Mishum. Even the person who writes it up, meaning in this case, we're talking about the sofer, we likely mean the lawyer. A lawyer who helps negotiate such a deal is also over. What? Losis lo titain, v'mishum lo tikach me'ito, v'mishum lo siya lo kenoshe, v'mishum lo sisim lo avneshok, v'mishum lo vne'iva, lo sitein mirshu, v'yesim lo kecha ani Hashem. So many avers involved in this, right? The Gemara tells us that, in fact, just for being a lawyer on this deal, you get five avers, five lavin. So the bottom line is that this is a very serious avera, and a person has to be very, very careful with it. People don't realize it enough. That's Makar number one. That's the first pasuk. The second pasuk is in Vayikra. In Parshas Bahar, which says, "Al tikach b'ito neshach v'emar b'sviyes malkecha v'chei achichi imoch." Again, it says you're not to take neshach or marbis. We've got to see what's the difference between teshach and neshach or tarbis or marbis. Es kaspa lo sikten v'neshach v'marbis lo sikten ochlecha. So again, it says neshach marbis. What's the difference between the two of them? The Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us absolutely nothing. Amarava, There's no such thing as having a case that is one without the other. So that's the case. Why do I have two different averus? The Torah just went and gave it two names. Why? To stick it to you. That if someone does this avera, it's such a serious avera that in fact you're going to be over two different lavin. So that is number two. Last, finally, coming up soon in the parasha, in Devarim, lo sashich achicha neshech kesef neshech ochel neshech kol dover asher yishach. It's not just a matter of money, but it applies to everything. It applies not only to kesef, but even to ochel. If I lend you an egg and I want two eggs back, that's neshech. Anything I give you, I want more back, that is a problem. Then, however, it says, "Ranachri sashich." It then says that in fact the person at least can, right? Maybe it even sounds like it's a mitzvah to charge ribbis to a non-Jew. However, when it comes to a Jew, give the guy a free loan. If you give the guy a free loan, in fact, you'll be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be happy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be happy. You'll be happy. He'll take care of you. He'll give you a bracha. What does it mean that nachri tashich? What does it mean that you can lend him? So that's a mochokas between the Rambam and the Raivin. If you look at number 7 on the Makara sheet, the Rambam writes, Ha'akim v'ger toshav, love him mehem u'mavid oso b'riv v'shem lo sashich ha'achicha. Then the Rambam goes further, makes a very radical statement. If somebody charges ribbis to a non-Jew, you actually get a mitzvah, it sounds like. It's a mitzvah's assay. And it sounds that if I make a free loan to a non-Jew, if a person in the office says, can I borrow $5? And you say, fine. And then you only collect $5. You're mevatel an aseh. So the Rambam amazingly says that not only are you allowed to charge ribbis to a guy, but in fact, there is a mitzvah to do it. That's quite the chiddush. The Raavad disagrees. The Raavad says, no. U mitzvahs aseh rahashech ad v'zehu din Torah. Omer Avram Aniro Matzati Shmuazu. Where did the Rambam come up with this? Is there a Gemara? Well, I taught him Masha Matzibisif Rei Shinema Sham Nachri Sassi Zu Mitzvah Sassi Prusha Mashim the Havire Rav Habo Michal Asse. So Yashtri Yisrael. So the Rambam says, no, the Ravid says, no. The Rambam's got it all wrong. The Rambam, when he turns around and he's basing it based on a Sifrei. What does the Sifrei say? The Sifrei says that it's a lav avo b'chal aseh, meaning what? It only means that if I charge ribbis to a Jew, not only do I get the iser, but I also get the lav if I should have been doing it. If you want to charge, then I should charge it to a non-Jew. But it doesn't mean that I get a mitzvah if I charge ribbis to a non-Jew. So that's a machlokes, whether it's a mitzvah or it's a matir. But the bottom line is, as we'll see, you're allowed to charge ribbis to a non-Jew. You can't charge ribbis to the Jew. Simple, very simple. It's all like that. Where would you expect to find Hilchas ribbis in the Shulchan Aruch? Right? So we know the Shulchan Aruch is divided into four sections. And in the four sections, you've got the halachas, you have Orach Chaim, which is daily life. And Evan Ha'ezer, which is things related to women. I have Kiddushin, I have Gittin, I have Yibam, I have Chalitza. I have Chosha Mishpat, which is all monetary types of things, right? I have the halachas of Beis Din, I have the halachas of Dezek, all the bubbas are found there, right? Geneva, Aveda, that's all found there. And then there's Yeradeya. What's Yeradeya? Yeradeya is everything else. Yeradeya is what you're learning for Smicha, right? Hilchas Kashrus doesn't fit any place else. We stick it over there. Trumas Amesis, we stick it over there. Kibud Aveim, we stick it over there. Avodah Zarah, we stick it over there. Where would you expect ribbis to be? You would expect it to be in Choshen Mishpat. right? It's a matter of money. That's what I expect it to be. However, when the tour was Masader, the Shulchan Aruch, right? The tour predated the Shulchan Aruch itself, right? The Arba Turim, right? The tour was the son of the Rosh. Therefore, he decided to set up sort of a competition a little bit to the Rambam. The Rambam had set up his Yad HaChazakah, his 14 sections of all halachas. So the tour only did things that were halacha l'maisa, unlike the Rambam, who even did things that were l'maisa. And the tour set it into four, right? Afterwards, the 200 years later, Rav Yosef Cairo goes and he writes a perish on it called the Beis Yosef. And Rav Moshe Isserles writes a perish called the Darkei Moshe. And those eventually turn into the Shulchan Aruch. But it's all based on the tour. So tour is the one who got to decide where everything is. So the tour very, very surprisingly goes and he puts Ribbis in Yeridaya. You wouldn't expect it to be in Yeridaya. You would expect it to be in Choshen Mishpat. Why should Ribbis be any different than Geneva? Right? Hilchos Malve Velove, right? If I lend money, if I, etc., that's all finds itself into Choshen Mishpat. How come this prat of Malve Velove doesn't end up in Choshen Mishpat? How come this prat ends up in Yeridaya? Very strange. So the Torah was aware of this obvious question, and he dealt with it at the beginning of Hilchos Ribbis. And he says as follows, this is these are introductory remarks, right? We know the Mishnah Berurah from time to time will make introductory remarks in his Sefer. The Torah, it's a little bit less common. He writes as follows. Ribbis, holova, also yad the name of a milsa. Once we're talking about Ribbis, let me give you a little bit of an introduction. He says, Ma'od, ma'od, tzarech adam lizar be'isser ribbis. A person has to be exceedingly careful when it comes to the isser of ribbis. Kava kama lava number bo, v'afilo halove, v'anos no overz, masha'en kem b'shara dine mamonos. So this is so different. He said, you got to be very careful. It's usher to steal money. The person who's a ganav is over in isser. The person who gets stuff stolen from him, you're going to tell me that guy is going to be over in Israel? No, it's bad enough you stole his money. Here, not only is the guy losing his money, we had insult to injury, it's also an Avera. So he says this is very, very different. There's more Isurim, more people are affected by it. He said, Rishar Dine Momonos. Let's say I go decide to say, listen, you want to go, you seem to be upset. Why don't you go smash my window? It'll make you feel better. I'm allowed to do that. You're allowed to do it. So that's a really, really radical type of thing here, that in the event that somebody does this Avera, the person is considered a kofei, you're going to lose your money, it's a terrible all over. So the question is, so why is this so different? He says, V'kol atolam osu ba'akam, omar she'im shel akam, v'malve osam beribis dino mosu v'choker levavos liparo b'imanu. Now he makes another comment. This appears in Rashi in the Chumash. Rashi says that there are very few times in the Torah where it says v'yareisam elokecha, that a person has to be very careful, but has to show yira, somebody has to show that they are fearing God. It ends up 5 times in the Torah, the words v'yareisam elokecha. 3 times in Parshas Bahar it happens to be, and twice in Parshas Mishpatim. Why does it say v'yareisam elokecha? So in each time, Rashi explains as follows. There are certain averas out there which are really thought crimes. For example, l'fnei'iver lo siten mechshol. I'm not allowed to give you a bad advice. You turn to me and say, listen, I'm thinking of betting on the Super Bowl. Who's going to make it this year? I tell you, you know who you should put your money on? Put your money on the Jets. The Jets, they're always a great football team, those New York Jets. For sure, they're going to win the Super Bowl. And I know that the Jets are a bracha levatala. And I think you put your money down and you lose it. So that's an avera. So you should be able to sue me over it. The problem is you can't. Why? Because I can always have the defense of, I thought the Jets were good. How did I know that they were no good? So therefore, because of that, you'll never be able to convict someone in a court of law, because it's, even though there's a maisa involved, at the core of the aveira is the, it's a thought crime. I have to have known that it was a bad idea, and you can't prove that it's in fact that I knew it was a bad idea. Civilly says, Losir de Bobafarech. It says that a person's not allowed to work their eved in a way that's useless, right? I have no work for my eved to do, but I want to show it to, I'm the boss. So I have him, you know, do some job that doesn't need to be done. I give him busy work. So says the Abiyah, why? Because you can never sue me on it. You could say, yeah, I had him washing the dishes again because I heard a rumor that, you know, somebody who had COVID was in the room. You know, I got very nervous. I could always make up an excuse why I did it. So since I can make up an excuse about it, therefore, because of that, you can never convict. Therefore, it says in these cases, among others, v'yareisam elokecha. Realize that, yeah, you're never going to get caught in court, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to get you. He knows when it's lifnei iver. He knows when it's losir debo b'farach. So too, I might turn around and I might work out money in a way that I lend money to a guy. So let's say, let me give you the following case. Let me throw it out there. Let's say theoretically, right, I went and I lent $5. I go to one of the guards in Gluck. And I said, here, I'm going to lend you $10 and I want $11 back. He says, fine, maskin. That guard now goes to one of the Talmidim. He says, here's $10. I want $11 back. And then the Talmud pays the guard $11 and the guard pays me $11. Is that mutter or aser? No, Moshe, what do you think?
That sounds mutter to me, but I'm waiting to be surprised.
Tani, what do you think? Hassan Danan.
You said, just to clarify, you said that you had intended for this to happen, or this was a inadvertent bat, like.
Well, you tell me. I didn't say one way or the other. I said that I gave $10 to the guard, and I told him I want $11 back, and then he went and took those $10, gave it to one talmidim, and asked for $11 back.
The shlucho shel adam can also apply to a guy.
So I think we assume that we generally assume that there's no shlichus la'akum.
So I was saying there's no issue.
So can I set it up this way?
I mean, if there's no shlichus to Akum, then that transference doesn't. I mean, in theory, wouldn't apply.
So you say so. So let me suggest now that I could get out of all ribbish shilas the same way I sell my chametz.
Maybe, I don't know. It's a good question.
Little Leo, what do you think? You have any thoughts?
And don't we say ain't shaliach ledvar avera? So maybe if it would be rivis, then it's considered like you're doing it yourself. It's not a shlichus. I'm not sure.
Well, again, we said there's no shlichus la'akum, period. Right, so again, so this guy's not my shliach. So that's good news, right? Right, Tanya, that was the answer we were looking for. So the Torah writes, that's why it says, v'yareisim elkecha, don't pull any shtick like this. Right? He says, you can't be told, you can't turn around and just everybody knows, right? What's the story? Again, usually people don't lend $10 beribis, right? People lend $10 million beribis, right? So what am I going to do? I'm going to take the janitor from the shul, and I'm going to stick him in the middle. He's going to borrow $10 million, and he's going to promise to pay me a living, and then he's going to give it to the other. This guy, $10 million. You know how shicker he'd be if he had $10 million? This guy doesn't have $10 million. This is all a joke. So that's what the Torah says. The Torah says, you got to be very careful with ribbis. You know, you can't go and say, it's This is Moses Akon. As he says, that's why he says, V'yereisim elkecha, Kosh Baruch Hu knows what's going on. You can't trick Hashem here. V'afilim alove, nosim l'yosem, yidaita b'shas apiraon. He says, not only that, but there's even an iser, what's called ribis ma'uchar. Right? Ribis ma'uchar is as follows. You know, I'm down. I have a problem, and I have no way to get by. And you turn to me and say, listen, you should open a dry cleaner. You open a dry cleaner, you can make good money. You'll work hard. You're a hardworking guy. Here's $10,000 seed money. You know, pay me back when you get back on your feet. 5 years from now, you are George Jefferson. You now have a whole bunch of dry cleaners. You're moving on up to the east side to a deluxe apartment in the sky. And you come back to me and says, here's the $10,000 you gave me. I can't thank you enough. But to try, I'm also going to give you 10% ownership in my business because it was your cash that did it. Mutter or Aser, I never asked for anything. This is a gift. Right? You're just showing Hakara Satov. Noam, what do you think?
Thanks, Mutter.
What's that?
I would think Mutter.
You would think Mutter, and you'd be wrong. The Gemara says that even Ribis Me'ucher, even if we did not say beforehand that this is what we're going to do, right? Even if you're going to just come in afterwards as a gift, as a Hakara Satov. Right? You lent me something. Thank you very much. Right? That's also usher. But more important is as follows.
Sorry, question, Rabbi. But if you agree to the terms of like ownership in the company before, like when you give it, let's say I give a loan for $10,000, I'm like, but give me 10% of your company. That's, there's nothing wrong with that if like the company's worth
$10,000. Why is that a loan? That's an investment. What if the company goes belly up? Do you still owe me $10,000?
But what if it's a loan and like an investment? That's considered an investment.
Well, again, give me the terms. I give you $10,000.
Give me $10,000. I want the $10,000 back. And at the beginning, we agree that I'm also going to get 10% just because
that's
I gave you
$10,000. I'm giving $10,000. I'm getting $10,000 back plus something. What's the difference if I got $10,001 or else I get $10,000 and a new car or $10,000 and 10% of your company?
Got it.
That for sure would be a problem. I can't get both back. So these can't, right? That's what we call in the business world preferred shares, right? When you buy preferred shares of a company, you're a stakeholder, you get a percentage of ownership, just like a common share, but you're also getting ribbis. So assuming the company would be Jewish, you'd have a problem with preferred shares. Now here's the key. He says, "I feel im omer amalve ani mochel charibis v'nos lo b'matana aser." He goes even further. Let's say I say to you, let's go through a few cases. Case number one: you go and you bump into my car, and you do $50 worth of damages, and I say, you know what? Bottle berov, I don't care. I have the most yeshivish car ever. Another bump. It's a badge of honor. Don't worry about it on mochel. Is that okay? Do you owe me the money? No problem, right? If you ganve something from me, and then I mochel it, it's gone, right? I give you some. Something I'm just mochel, that's what we call actually a matana. Matana is I'm giving you something together with mechila. It's not geneva. It ends up being matana, right? I say, I don't want. What if I turn around and I say, here, I, the borrower, am mochel the ribbis? Listen, 100%. I understand it's ribbis. I understand you're not supposed to be taking it, but I don't care. You're doing me a favor. So the Torah says that is aser. That is what makes ribbis really different than anything else. And that's why it doesn't belong in Chosha Mishpat. Anything in Chosha Mishpat, you can be mochel. Ribbis, you can't be mochel. Because by definition, ribis always is mechira. You listen to these ads, right? You know, oh, apply for a mortgage and we'll help you get approved. What does that mean? It means we will help you find somebody who will charge you ribis. Isn't that what a mortgage is? Well, what a mortgage is a loan. And when people are approved for a mortgage, they have a karas hatov, they're happy. Every ribis in the world basically is a case of mechila. If I wasn't mocha, I wouldn't have taken the loan out. And if I get a good rate, that I have Dine Mamas, you can always be mochel. However, you cannot be mochel ever ribis. Right? This isn't a monetary, this isn't a hezek. This isn't, there are cases where I'm buying a Manhattan building. I need a $50 million mortgage. I'm not an uni. I'm not using this to pay my rent or to buy food. Still, it's awesome. So these are the basics. But the basics is that when it comes to ribis, ribis is much more chumer than anything in the final choshen mishpat, and that's dafka why they put it in Yeredeya. You know, this is the matter of theory. This is what the Torah himself, who put it there, said. Now, important differences, and this is the key. Certain times, yes, Moshe.
Sorry, you did cut out for a minute, so you might have addressed this. What is it that you're practically being mocha by giving ribis? It sounds like that's almost like a meaning. I'm being a nice guy. I'm doing a chesed for you. Is there a halachic, halachically, is there something practical I'm actually being mocha?
Well, again, the story is that I, the borrower, right, I'm being mocha the extra money beyond the Karen that I borrowed. Right, I borrowed principal. I gave you back principal plus interest. I am being mochel the interest because halachically I didn't owe you the interest. So that's the mechira. And it doesn't work. Now there's a major difference, and this is very important practically if you deal with these cases, is certain cases are ribis d'oraisa, and certain cases are ribis d'rabbanan. Right? Rashi got the ribis d'oraisa. Ribis is derech halva mashma. The first thing is that ribis has to be in the form of a loan. As we will see, many cases of ribis do not come in the form of a loan. Right? They come in some sort of other package, as we'll see, where magically we end up with ribis. Let me give you an example. Right? I turn to you and I am selling you, you buy widgets from me. Right? So somebody's in a business, cash flow is a big deal. Anybody went to Sy Sims, you realize it's not just only assets and liabilities. There's also an issue of cash flow, right? I'm going to buy a million widgets for a dollar and sell them for $2, right? That's a great deal. I'm going to make $1 million by doing that. However, at some point, I'm going to have to pay you the million before I collect the $2 million. That's a key part of business. And therefore, people will take out bridge loans. There's something called factoring. Again, if anybody's familiar with the business world, there's different ways to fill the gap. One way is as follows. I, the supplier, will turn to you and say, this is a dollar a widget, and it's due within 30 days of or it's due at the time of delivery. However, you have 6 months to pay it at net plus five. Right, net plus five means you can either pay me $1 million now, or you can pay me $1,050,000 in 6 months from now. Is there a ribis in that? So the answer is very much yes. What's that?
If he has a choice, then he's paying for a service.
But that's what every ribis is. You always have a choice. Right? I go to the bank, I say, please lend me money, I'll pay you ribis.
But most other people aren't giving an option. It's not like you can go to a mortgage company and say, or go to a bank giving out a mortgage and say, I want the option without the APR, without the interest.
Right, because that if I give you the money and you give it back today, you can have it without interest. There's no such thing as a loan, right? Here, I already have a debt. And the question is, you can pay the debt now because I'm delivering the item, or you can pay the debt later, right? So this is, I'm lending you, again, you owe me the $1 million today. I will forbear, as they say, for 6 months for a payment of 5%. Right, that is ribbis. What I'm saying is, I, the supplier, will cover this loan myself. I won't make you go out and get a loan from the. I won't make you get a loan from the bank or some other finance company. I will give you the loan myself. Right, sometimes I'll sell a house and I'll do the mortgage myself. You can pay me $500,000 now. Or you can buy me maybe $50,000 a year for the next 15 years, right? I could self-finance this, these cases. Now, in all of these cases, right, on the one hand, it definitely is ribbis. It's what we call schar hamtanas mos. I am paying money to pay you money later. However, it's definitely not derech halva. I never came to you and asked to borrow money. Right, this is derech mekach. This is part of a business deal, and it could go the other way also, as we'll see. Right, there's a possibility I can say, "Listen, you owe this money to me in 30 days from now, but if you pay early, right?" My wife went to the dentist the other day, and the dentist says that this is the cost, but if you pay up front, you get 10% off. Get a prepayment discount. So what's the story? So again, all of these cases, these are cases of ribbis shelo b'derech halva. According to Rashi, that is ribbis, but it's not ribbis d'oraisa, it's ribbis d'rabbanan. So who cares, ribbis d'oraisa, ribbis d'rabbanan? It's a matter of how hot your hell is going to be. They turn down at a few degrees, in the d'rabbanan gehenim. So the Chochmas Adam begins to explain. The Chochmas Adam, if you look here in number 10, says, Kol ribbis d'oraisa nikra ribbis kitzutza. That's another word for it. Imlokach yotze b'dayanim. There's a free debt nafkaminis. One is, let's say I pay ribbis, and I then go and I go to court. I want my ribbis back. Will the Beis Din give me the ribbis back? So if it's ribbis d'oraisa, they will. I borrowed $100 and then I paid back $110. I can go to Beis Din and get my $10 back. But that's only if it's ribbis d'oraisa. If it's ribbis d'rabbanan, you can't get your money back. Do people go to Beis Din trying to collect their ribbis? Does this really happen? So I remember there's a famous case we had in the Beis Din a few years ago. It went as follows. Two Jews, Orthodox Jews, had been lending each other. They were in business together. And they were lending with ribbis back and forth for years. At one point, A owed B a lot of ribbis. So what happens? So all of a sudden, A becomes religious and says, I can't pay ribbis. How can I pay ribbis? From Yid like me. Ribbis. How can we do that? It'll be terrible. So the guy says, get out of here. You just found religion? How did you just find religion, buddy? You, in fact, you had been charging me ribbis and collecting all the years. It's funny that all of a sudden you find religion when you owe a lot of money. So they go to Beis Din. What do? On the one hand, the first guy's right. Beis Din is not going to make the guy pay ribbis. On the second hand, the second guy's right. There's a certain amount of equity here. Any ideas? Noam, what would you do?
I don't know.
Any ideas? No? Sam? Give maybe an emoji to pop up for this?
Could you? I was thinking about it though. Okay. Could you like tally how much ribbis went back and forth and just net the difference?
Correct. That's what you do. You say, you know what? You're right. You shouldn't pay ribbis. It's bad. And we're sure that you want to do tshuva for all the ribbis that you took. So what we're going to do is we're going to undo all of the cases. In order that Baruch Hashem, we're going to do your wishes not to be involved in ribbis. Not only won't you have to pay, but you'll be able to do tshuva and give back everything you took. So yes, that's what we did. In fact, we told them good news. We're going to get you out of the avera.
What if there was a balance then that went one way or the other?
Then that's it, and then the balance had to be paid. Yeah, in fact, so in that case, even though technically you could argue, was it all the rice or all the ribbis? Maybe yes, maybe no. But again, once we're ready in Beis Din and we're doing pshara krova ladin as we do in Beis Din, we thought it was appropriate that we undo all of them. But one nafkamina is whether it's yotze b'dayanim. Okay, that's one thing. What else do we? What are there other nafkaminas between it? So let's go down a little bit. And it says in number 11, Kol ribis de rabbanon mutter b'moshel yisomim o shehek de shenim o talmud Torah o tzarech beis hakneses. There are certain organizations that are allowed to charge ribis de rabbanon. So for example, let's say Nebuch, there is a person who dies and leaves a ketanim. And the ketanim don't know how to take care of their business matters. So the Beis Din appoints an apotropos to manage the money for the kids. So it says in that case that the apotropos has a right to collect ribbis d'rabbanan, to invest the money in the way he can get ribbis d'rabbanan. Not only that, but a tzedakah organization, such as Hekdesh Shaniyim, or a yeshiva, Talmud Torah, or a shul, all have a right to collect ribbis d'rabbanan. This is a very important halacha. This is much more lemaisa than the previous one. So I assume many of you fellows went undergrad to Yeshiva College, or your Sai Sims, and many people who attend yeshiva find that the cost is somewhat prohibitive, and since it's prohibitive, they take out student loans. And among the student loans is that YU offer student loans. So if you ever took out a student loan in YU, so when I was in law school, I took out a student loan. I didn't go to law school in YU. So where I went to law school, what happened was they went and you went to the bursar's offer and they literally gave you a check. They handed you a check for the money and then you could do whatever you wanted with the check. Right? You could go pay your tuition. You could go play the ponies. And in fact, there were classmates of mine who did not use the checks to pay their tuition, but rather their parents, whatever was paying the law school tuition. The law school loans carried 0% interest until 6 months after you graduated. So it was free money. So they invested it in stocks. You just put it in the bank. You collect the interest. YU doesn't do that. If anyone's ever taken out a YU student loan, I owe $10,000 in tuition. They say, fine, we write it off and you'll pay more later. Assuming YU is Jewish, why isn't that ribbis? So you might say that's the only avera YU's ever done. No. So the answer, that's a little bit of, I'm sure there are people who would suggest that. So hopefully it's a little bit of a weaker answer. So the standard answer that we go with is that YU is considered Ma'oz Talmud Torah. It's Ma'oz Talmud Torah, and it's not ribbis d'oraisa. Why? Because no money ever changes hands. Right? This case where YU says you could pay us $10,000 now in tuition or $15,000 years later, right, that we say is ribbis d'rabbanan. Since it's ribbis d'rabbanan and YU has a din of a yeshiva, again, there are some chidushim here, right? Based on all that, Therefore, it would be mutter to do that. Why you in fact has a heter iska, we'll hopefully get around to talking about heter iska a little bit later. But in fact, according to the Shulchan Aruch, ribbis the rabbanon can be charged by a yeshiva or a shul. And the Ramah agrees with it. It says, "Chein no agin lehakel," and he says, "And so too, that is the minig that we are making." Yes, Tani.
Can you just clarify what, like, the difference is between what constitutes ribbis the rabbanon, or is that like, I know we're going through that? Is that what we're going through right now? Or
right. So again, we said one thing that we said what makes ribbis the rabbanon if it's not derech halva. If there's no lending involved. So we gave an example. If I have two, if I sell you something, I can say you could pay X now or X plus 5% later. That's not derech halva. Another thing we said was when in the case where it's ribis meuchar, when I came along and I said, listen, I know I just had to pay you back this money, but I'm so grateful. I'm also giving you an extra percent. I'm also giving you part of the company. I'm also sending you flowers, right? That is ribis meuchar, but it wasn't derech halva. We never agreed on it beforehand, right? Mm-hmm. Similarly, we'll say if I borrow a dozen eggs and I give you back 14 eggs, right? No money involved. That also might very well be ribis derabanan. We're going to go through various cases of ribis derabanan, and you'll see some of them are relatively common.
Thank you.
Again, we care about ribis d'oraisa versus ribis d'rabbanan. One difference is whether it's yotze b'dayanim. Right, that's the reason. That's number one. Number two is whether ma'os tzedakah is allowed to charge it. Next, and this is very important, we'll see, is the Shulchan Aruch says a halacha that we said earlier, and that is that when you have a case of ribis, it's not just the lender, but it's the malve, it's the lova, it's the edim, it's the sofer, it's the arev, it's everybody involved. Let's say you have a balabas who's a lawyer. What does he do for a lawyer? As a living, he's a corporate lawyer. He writes contracts. Okay, so he writes contracts. Among the contracts he writes is he writes business contracts, and a lot of times there's ribis involved, right? So, for example, a lot of times you'll find ribis. So people here, they have phone bills, they have Con Ed bills. Oftentimes, there's a late payment fee. Yes, if you don't pay your bill on time, they hit you with 1.5% charge per month, a late payment fee. That's ribis, right? You can pay it now, you can pay it later. So anybody who writes a contract between two Jews and there's a late payment fee, you're going to be over in Issa D'Oraisa. So the Ramah comments that not so much. He said, obviously, there's no difference who's the borrower, the person rich for who the lover over. Dafka beribis da raisa, avo beribis da rabbanon ain't over, ella mishum lifnei iver. So he says that only in ribis da raisa is everyone over. In ribis da rabbanon, only the lender is. The borrower, at most, he has lifnei iver. Because obviously the guy can't lend beribis unless someone borrows beribis. But as far as the lawyer is concerned, if it's ribis derabanan, you're not chayiv. So again, if a late payment fee arguably is not d'oraisa, because it's not derech halva. I provided you with services. I provided you with gas and electric. You're supposed to pay me. If you pay me late, you're going to pay me at that time. Instead of this time, there's an additional requirement. So again, in terms of everyone but the lender, ribis derabanan gets you out of it. So again, there's a major, as we see from here, difference between ribis d'oraisa and ribis derabanan is a big deal. Now, what makes something derabanan? So this is a big one. The Mishana Halachas is what Rabbi Shechter likes to call him. Hamashan ribis ayde hamcha. What's a hamcha? Anybody? Modern Hebrew? It's in parentheses right afterwards, number 13, right over there. Can't miss it. What is that word?
Check.
Check, right. If I'm not paying in cash, but rather I'm paying with a check, does that make something ribis derabanan? Why? So the question is, what is a check? Is it, would you tell me it's cash or is it a shtar?
Shtar.
Why do you say shtar?
It's a document.
Okay. The dollar bill is a document also, right? Well, we just...
Like it's a document that says if you go to this organization, they will fulfill my pledge.
Right. So basically the argument you're making is it's not cash, right? I don't have to accept I run a store. I don't have to accept a third party check, right? You give me a check for $10. Now I want to pay you with that check. It's not going to work. Why would someone take a third party check? It's not your check, right? That would make it into a shtar. And the halachas are that what's the story with a shtar? A shtar is ribbis derabbanan. You know what we call shtars nowadays? We call them bonds, right? A bond is a shtar. In 5 years from now, I'm going to give you a $10,000. And therefore, the bond market sells these bonds, right, based on what is the face value, how much you're going to collect eventually, and based on how far out it is until I'm going to collect it, and based on what are the odds that's going to get paid, right? Right? The U.S. government is probably the largest person in the bonds market. They sell T-bills and they sell T-bonds, etc. And the odds of them paying are pretty darn good because if they run out of money, they could always print more. However, Yeshiva University also has bonds, you know. And for some reason, people think that the odds of YU defaulting on their bonds is greater than the odds of the U.S. government. So if I go and I buy a bond, right? So there's ribis involved, right? Because I buy a bond with a $10,000 par date on it, right? 3 years from now. So I'll give you $9,000 for it, and 3 years from now, I'm going to get $10,000 back. That is a form of ribis, but it's only ribis derabbanan because I'm buying and selling IOUs. There's no cash involved. So some people argue that that's what a check is. If I'm paying by check, I'm paying by shtar, and therefore that's always ribis derabbanan. Now, some people disagree with this. Some people say, no, a shtar is not, a check is not a shtar. Why? Because a shtar is an IOU to me. I owe you the money. As opposed to here, I'm saying to you, it's not that I owe you the money. I'm saying, go to a third party, go to Chase, go to Citibank, and they'll give you the money. I'm just giving you reshus to collect from my account. You don't have to collect from me. If you assume that a check makes ribis derabbanan, you really end up in a case where all serious cases of interest become derabbanan. Because nowadays, a mortgage, whatever it is, no one's paying with suitcases worth of cash. No one's paying with gold bars. Everyone's paying with the check. You're paying with a money order. So therefore, if you assume that a check is ribis derabbanan, you're automatically pretty much always in the ribis derabbanan bizman hazeh. And since you're in ribis derabbanan bizman hazeh, you don't really have to worry that much about, let's say, being the sofer, being the edim, even to turns out to being the borrower. Right? The Lova himself doesn't really have a problem because it's all the Rabbanan. Only the Malvez is on the hook for all this.
Would direct debit be any worse or any better?
It wouldn't be better, I don't think, right? It's harder to say that direct, if I wire you the money, that's probably a lot closer to cash than a check is. So that's the... I just finished negotiating a deal. Evan did not involve ribis, but you know, the wiring money versus showing up with a check, you know, versus showing up with a bank check. These are differences. These do make a difference in the deal. Remember, I can always stop a check. I can't stop a money order. I can't stop cash. Yes, though.
I'm just trying to clarify, which part of the transaction would have to be by check to make it the Rabbanan, arguably? Would it be the lender is giving me a check, or would it have to be me paying the lender?
Either the item being loaned being the shtar, or the payback being the shtar.
But didn't we say that the issued darabona is only on the lender, or did I misunderstand?
No, meaning that if in the event that there is a it's the darabona one way or the other, then only the lender has the issur. That would be the idea. So again, this is a matter of great debate, and it happens to be very important because it could be the difference between Doraisa and Darabanan, and the difference between Doraisa and Darabanan, right? Whether it's Yotze B'dayanim, whether most tzedakah can do it, and probably most importantly, whether a lawyer can draft this or not. Next, we talk about Sa'a B'Sa'a. So, yes, Sam.
How do people deal with the Ramah's issue of Lifnei Iver, though?
So again, that Lifnei Iver is only in what we call, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us, Lifnei Iver is only an Isser in what we call Trei Iver Denara. Meaning that if I don't do it, it won't happen. However, if it's Chad Iver Denara, so again, if I am the only person who's willing to take out this loan, you've got a problem. But if this guy's a lender, and if I don't get the mortgage, the next guy will get the mortgage, then it's most definitely Chad Iver Denara, and there wouldn't be Lifnei Iver. What would it be? It would be Misayeru Deir Avrei Avera. That's not a Doraisa, that's a Darabana. Misayeya, again, beyond the scope of this. But again, so in terms of the borrower, yes, you might be over Lifnei Iver, you might be over Misayeya, but in terms of the Edim, and et cetera, the Edim, the Arev, the Sofer, right? Because especially the Sofer, you know, there's no shortage of lawyers that can draft up a loan document for you. So therefore, that's why, in fact, you probably would get out of it in that case. The Gemara talks about Sa'a B'Sa'a. In order to understand Sa'a B'Sa'a, you have to understand the following. That there, whenever you're talking about a financial system, there's only one thing that is considered cash. Everything else is considered, you know, product. So let me give you an example. I go to the store and I buy eggs and they're $1.50 a dozen. 2 months later, they're $1.60 a dozen. How do I view this? As an economist, you can view this two ways. One is that eggs became more valuable. Right? Whatever, there's the avian flu someplace, or people just decided that eggs are healthy. Now there's greater demand, or there's less supply, and therefore eggs are more valuable. Or another possibility is where there's what there's called inflation. Inflation doesn't mean my eggs are more valuable, but it means that my dollars are less valuable. It used to be my dollar got such an amount of eggs, but now my dollar gets less eggs. Or there could be deflation. Now my dollar is more stronger and I can get more eggs. So how could I tell? Which one is it? Is it the eggs that are changing value, or is it the dollar that's changing value? Anybody? Any economics majors? Anybody go to Sci Sims?
You could look at other products.
What?
You could look at other products and see.
You're saying you look at other products, etc. The bottom line is no, there's no way to tell. Therefore, what you have to do at all times is you have to make one thing non-movable and everything else gets compared to that. Right? It's such a system that there's too many moving pieces. So what we do in the United States is we have something called, you know, we have this baskets of goods. And then we have the CPI, the Consumer Price Index. And we assume that eggs, milk, gasoline, right, healthcare, whatever it is, we put them all in this basket and we watch the basket. And if the basket becomes more expensive, we assume that there was inflation, that the dollar changed in value and the dollar is weaker. And if this becomes less expensive, this basket, then in fact, then there was deflation. That's how we play the game. We assume that this basket never changes value. Is that true? It's not true. Right? Take gasoline, for example. Gasoline can change wildly, totally unrelated to the value of the dollar, right? After Memorial Day, it's driving season. The price of gas goes up because there's more demand, right? if there's unrest in the Middle East, right, the price of oil goes up and therefore gasoline goes up. So to say that this represents the value of the dollar, it's not really fair. But, you know, that's what we do. Economists somehow or another have to determine what inflation is, and that's how they do it. What we do in halacha is not that way, right? What we do is we have in the Bavli, we have a perek called Perek HaZahav. Anybody know why it's called Perek HaZahav? What makes it the gold standard? So the first mission, the Perek HaZahav says, I guess you don't have smicha yet. If you had smicha already, of course you would know this. It says, HaZahav kones ha-kesef. Ve'ena kesef kones ha-zahav. It talks about what purchases what. So we say, well, gold can purchase silver, but silver can't purchase gold. Meaning that according to the Bavli, we're on the gold standard. Gold never changes in value. And therefore, everything else is compared to that. If you open a Yerushalmi to the same perek, you won't find perek hazav. You know what perek you'll find there instead? You'll find perek hakesef. Because it says hakesef kones hazav, v'lozav kones hakesef. The exact opposite. They were on the silver standard in Eretz Yisrael. In Bavel, they were on the gold standard. Here we're on the silver, in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael, they were on the silver standard. According, there has to be something that doesn't change value, right? Because I lend you something, I have to give you back the same value. And since there's such fluctuations, you have to come up. What is the standard in the United States of America? What do we assume it doesn't change? So the answer is the dollar. A dollar is a dollar is a dollar. That's our assumption. Nothing else. I borrow $5, I should give back $5. I borrow $10, I should give back $10. And everything else is in dollars. That's how it works. If there's inflation, no, the dollar never gets weaker. You pay back the same amount of dollars. Inflation, deflation, I don't care. The currency is the currency, period. End of discussion. Therefore, if I borrow a dozen eggs, and when I borrow the dozen eggs, right, it costs $3 a dozen. And therefore, each day, egg is worth 25 cents. And then it goes up to $3.50 a dozen. I can't return a dozen eggs. Because then I would have borrowed $3 and returned $3.50. Because I don't care how many eggs you borrowed. Everything gets monetized by me. So therefore, there is an isser to lend eggs because there's a potential that it's going to go up in value. And that's called saw abisah. I can't borrow a saw of wheat and then return a saw of wheat. Because a saw abisah, that is a case of ribis. That is ribis de rabbanon. So that's very tricky. I always have to, rather, so let's say I want to borrow eggs. My wife tells me, you know, I'm middle of baking a cake. I need eggs. Go to the neighbor and get me eggs. What am I supposed to do now? So there's two approaches. Approach number one is I could say, can I borrow a dollar's worth of eggs? $3 a dozen, give me four eggs. And I'll give you back a dollar's worth of eggs. Or I'll give you a dollar. I can buy it. Or what I used to do is I used to go to borrow eggs. And of course, mamish, I'd go to the neighbors and say, you know, my wife needs some salt. So they mamished, it was like Midas Sodom. They would never give me salt because they went to seminary and they told them, if you lend salt, it's an Isser Ribis. So I would tell these women, no, I don't want you to lend me salt. Give me salt. I need 2 teaspoons of salt. I have no intention of ever paying you back. Can I please have it now? That's also an option. You can always take a matana. That's not a problem. They want to give you an egg, they can give you an egg. But if not, there's a problem of sa'abasah. Sa'abasah is a potential issue if I'm lending anything outside of money itself. So that is the halacha of sa'abasah. There are heterim when it comes to sa'abasah. Two major heterim. Heter number one is what's called yeshlo, and heter number two is yotza hashar. if I borrow eggs, I have 10 eggs and I need another 5 eggs, since I could return the eggs right now if I wanted to, there's no issue. Yes, Tani.
I'm just curious, given that like money, like the dollar nowadays works differently than gold or silver, why wouldn't Sabasa apply this in like the dollar?
How does it work differently?
I mean, it's not backed by anything. It's all public opinion. It's all arbitrary. Like gold or silver is gold or silver. It has, like, as you were saying, it has like
a
specific value.
You're speaking like one of these Bitcoin nuts. You guys, right? Oh, dollar has no value. Gold has real value. What value does gold have? Why does gold have intrinsic value? What can I do with gold that makes it intrinsic? Eggs have intrinsic value. I can make an omelet. I like omelets. Mm. What intrinsic value does gold have? Why is gold worth $1,800 an ounce?
None. It's arbitrary.
None, right? There is no difference. The value of anything is what the next guy will give you for it. That's the value of it. The only reason that my gold is worth $1,800 is because I can find a schnook who will pay it. Right? Gold doesn't have intrinsic value either. Like, this is always based on these things. Yes, gold is rare, but you know what? There's a lot of things that are rare. You know, funny pieces of toast that look like Mother Teresa are rare also, but they don't necessarily have intrinsic value. So the idea being is that the dollar has a value because we all accept that it has a value. Shine. That's the reason why we all accept that this has a value. We assume that a piece of paper that looks like this has value and that doesn't. People assume that gold, right? Right, this element has that much value and that element has that much value, right? The value of gold is very different than the value of, you know, other rare earth minerals that they need to make cell phones, right? There are other members of the periodic table that have intrinsic value. They, you know, I need a certain amount of tungsten in order to make a light bulb, whatever it is, right? I need, you name it, the molybdenum to make my cell phone. Good, that has it. But everything, it's always was that way, right? This is one of the big lies they always tell you in Bitcoin. Oh, you don't want to mess with dollar bills. They don't have it. They're not backed by gold. And if they were backed by gold, what was gold worth?
Wait, so then how did they come up with the idea of Sabasa? Because then the same thing applies. It's all like,
what? No, the idea is because a dollar is a dollar is a dollar. And sometimes you're going to get more eggs for the dollar and sometimes you're going to get less eggs for the dollar. That's the problem. Now, again, I know I'm running low on time. And Rabbi Orlean said to me that this should be an hour and a half. And if I ended early, people probably wouldn't complain. So, you know, even though I understand you want to get your money's worth. But with that being said, this is very important. If the dollar never moves and everything else moves, anything that I lend other than money, I'm going to have a problem. Let's go to something very practical, the stock market. I think that Pfizer, you know, is a good stock because there's going to be, now people need booster shots. They're going to be able to sell this vaccine to the entire world for years on end, right? Pfizer, they're charging $20 a dose. Everybody needed two doses to start with. There's 7 billion people in the world that need it. Now they need another dose. I think it's a good investment. How do I make money on this? Basic question.
You could invest in Pfizer. Like
easy. Thank you, Sam. Yeah. Right? I just buy stock in Pfizer and I am set. I am sitting pretty in Schaefer City. But I invest in Pfizer. The Pfizer goes up and everything is good. What if I think, you know what? People are assuming too much because the third dose is not going to be approved. And people are going to go for the one shot, the Johnson & Johnson. And Moderna is also, you know, people like them better because they're Modernishes, right? So therefore, no one's, how do I make money on the fact that I think that Pfizer is overvalued? I think it's going to go down. How do I make money on that?
Short the stock.
I short the stock. What does that mean? How do I short a stock? What do those words mean? For the English lit majors here,
you borrow money. Well, you borrow at the right. You borrow the value of the stock at the lower price.
What do you mean borrow the value of the stock? Sorry, what's the this? What? Anybody know what? Can anyone explain what Noam just said? Because it seems that Noam can't. Ah, true smicha students, not a clue. So the way that you make the money is as follows. I borrow the stock. I turn to you and I say, Pfizer's trading at 42. Mind if I borrow 1,000 shares? I'll give it back to you in a month from now. I borrow the shares, I sell the shares, and in a month from now, I'm going to buy the shares back. And then I'm going to give them back to you. Right? When I sell the shares, I'm going to get $42,000. When I buy the shares back, if I am right, it'll cost me less. So I will go and I will get $42,000. If I'm lucky, it'll go down to 35. I'll pay 35,000. I'll borrow the shares. I'll return the shares. I'll pocket $7,000. Is that saw basaw? I borrowed shares and I returned shares.
That's like the opposite.
Why is it the opposite, Tani?
You're giving back less.
Right. Tani says, no, Ribbis, I give you back less money. But what if I'm wrong, in fact, Tani, and the shares are now it's $45 a share, and I sold it for 42, and I have to buy it for 45 to give it back. Now what do you say, Tani?
I'm stumped.
Right. Now, add insult to injury. I lost money, and I'm over Ribbis. Right? Because I borrowed $42,000 worth of shares and I returned $45,000 worth of shares. So shorting stocks or other types of commodities could be a real saw b'saw. There is, however, a heter of yatzah hashar. If something has a functioning market that I know the prices at all times, perhaps there's a reason to be makel based on that, right? So again, a person has to be very careful of saw basaw. Again, we're not going to go through everything. I'm just giving you the highlights here. But, you know, in terms of that, in terms of saw basaw, right, there are heterim. Saw basaw comes up in a simple case where I'm borrowing eggs or something from the neighbor. But also in more complex cases, where, for example, if I am going about shorting stocks or the like, that also could run me into an issue of saw basaw. That could also be ribbis. Now, let me ask you a question. A guy borrows my car, and I give it to him with a half a tank of gas, and he gives it back with a full tank of gas. Perhaps the most common ribbis shaila I get in yeshiva. Now that you're experts in the area, what would you say? Mutter or asr? Sam?
Is it technically yeshlo because there's half a tank in there?
So you're saying that well, again, this is a case of, it wasn't sub basah. I didn't tell you to, right, I'm not giving back the half a tank. If there's a half a tank, then it would be sub a sudden. Then you can talk about yeshua. But here I'm giving you back double. I'm giving you back a full tank of gas. Right? I'm going on a date. I borrow a guy's car. Basic menschlichkeit. You gas it up before you give it back.
I mean, wouldn't it be the same equivalent of the case that you gave us before where you borrow money from someone and give them a gift? As a karas hatov, and that's ribbis deraisa. Wouldn't this be like the equivalent of that without
derabanan? Ribbis derabanan.
No, I'm saying this should be derabanan. Wait, that you said that was ribbis derabanan?
That's derabanan. Because it wasn't katsuva. We didn't say that before. But ribbis derabanan. So you're saying it should be ribbis derabanan? Yes. Moshe, you're tani.
This case is smicha students, right? So maybe it's the daka.
But it's a smicha student who's actually paying it. It's not tzedakah to take money from poor people. Note. Yeah, I rob from the poor because it's tzedakah. No. Obviously, that's a, no. So typical case. The answer is no. The problem is people get confused with the word borrow. The word borrow means two different things in English, but there's two different words for it in Hebrew. There's something called halva, and there's something called she'ela. What's the difference between she'ela and halva?
Kenyan.
That's a very that's a very yeshivish word. What does that mean?
Meaning if you like halva, you actually have like you kind of have ownership of the thing, and you owe the same value in return. Whereas she'ela, you never like get full ownership of the item. You have to give back the same item.
Correct. There's the difference. In halva, I'm giving back a different item, right? You lend me $5. I might give you back a different $5 bill. I might give you back five singles. I might give you a 10 and ask for five back. There's no assumption I'm giving back the same thing I borrowed. She'ela, I borrow your car. You're expecting the same car back. Right? Rightfully so. Right? Money is halva. The car is a she'ela. Therefore, there's no ribis by she'ela. If I rent a car, I'm giving you the car back plus money. I am a socher. That's not ribis. That's fine. I borrow your car. I give it back with gas. I am a socher. You could say, lechachila, I expect it back with a tank of gas. I could ask for $20 with it. Because I am just a show. You're a shoel or a socher. Because you're giving back the same thing. In the case by halva, it means I'm giving back something different. The eggs, right? I say, can I borrow a tissue? I'm not giving back the same one. I'm not giving back the same eggs. I'm not giving back the same sugar. I'm not giving back the same stock. That's halva. So no, ribis is only by halva, not by she'ela. Yes, question.
Why is the gas included in the car? If I give you a car with a half a container of eggs in the back, and then I ask you for a full container of eggs when the car is returned, wouldn't that be the same thing?
So again,
the gas included?
Because again, you're not renting the gas, you're renting the car. And I could ask for payment on that. I could ask you to give me $50. And so too, I can ask you to give me $50 worth of gas.
I mean, are we talking about borrowing?
What?
We're talking about borrowing.
Borrow a car. You say, can I borrow your car? Sure. And I'll say it oftentimes, you know. Let's say I can't even tell you. And I expect it back with a full tank. Right? I don't want to go to my car tomorrow and see the empty tank light on.
Just to clarify any confusion, would you technically be a socher then and not a shoel? So like correct. If there's an accident, you're putter.
Well, depending on what, if Geneva and Aveda, it would be an accident. Let's hold off on. But on Geneva, if I said to you, L'chachira, I expect you to put in more gas than was in there. If I say to you, I expect the same amount of gas, then no. But if I say to you, I expect more gas than I started with, yeah, then you become a socher, correct?
So why wouldn't it be the same thing if you retroactively received more gas than you started with? Why wouldn't you retroactively be a socher?
Well, again, I never asked for it. I can't, you know, turn around at the end of it and say, you know, by the way, here's a few dollars for it. No, I lend it to you. I didn't want to rent it to you. You can't make me a socher against my will. So that's the story, right? So that's, people get confused. Be very careful.
Why is there not an implicit understanding that you're getting gas when you're borrowing your friend's car and that you're going to have to give the...
Again, let's say I gave it to you with a full tank. There's no way you can give me more. You're going to fill up my back seat. You're going to throw in a container. Right? I expect as much gas as I gave it to you. There's no implicit understanding I expect more. So that's the story. Unless I say, listen, currently has a half a tank, I expect it back with a full tank. That's the deal. You want to borrow my car? Shine. So that's what people get confused about, that you got to be very careful about this. Next, I mentioned in passing number 15, etc., talks about the case of prepayment. This comes up, and also interesting case, you want to think about it. Subscriptions, right? I read the Wall Street Journal. How much does it cost to buy the Wall Street Journal at the newsstand? $1 an issue, $2 an issue, $5 an issue, some crazy amount. No one ever buys it at the newsstand. But if I subscribe, it's $100 a year. Is that ribis? Because I'm getting more for less because I'm paying early. If I would pay every day, then they would charge me X amount of dollars. Since I'm prepaying early, that I get a discount. So people are usually make on the case of subscriptions for multiple reasons. One reason is because magazines don't make their money on people paying for it. Where do magazines make their money?
Ads,
correct. Right? Magazines oftentimes will give away free copies because therefore I'll have a greater circulation. I can charge more for my ads. So by me guaranteeing I'm going to buy this magazine no matter what for X amount of time, in fact, what I am doing is I am, you know, giving value, and that's why they're giving me a discount. That's reason number one, right? The problem is, let's say I want to subscribe to Chakira, or I want to subscribe to the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society or Tradition. None of these people have ads, but they still give me a discount for buying it earlier. So again, people are makel there as well. It's not a matter of a prepayment discount, but it's a matter of, you know, there are certain times when, if it's, let's say it's raining, I'm not going to go buy it. I'm not going to go to the newsstand to pick it up. Or I'll just get lazy. I'll decide I don't like it. Here, they know how many to print, right? By me guaranteeing that I will do it, right? There, in fact, there's value to them as well. They're not doing it because they want the cash up front. And therefore, people are makel in that as well. Rabbi Daniel Feldman always likes to talk. He's about the fact that Tradition many years ago came out with an issue that was dedicated to the memory of Rabbi David de Sola Pool. If people don't know who David de Sola Pool is, you're not the only one. Most people were not interested in who it was. No one would have bought the issue on its own, but since you were subscribed, you were stuck with it. Rabbi Feldman said, I think to this day, if you go to his house, he has that on his shelf in the plastic still to indicate he never looked at it. He actually put it in his collection of traditions in the plastic. No one should have a Havamim. He actually read it. But, you know, you subscribe and you're stuck. So that's the story with that. There are many, many other different types of cases. Let's just quickly talk about Ribbis Devarim. There's something called Ribbis Devarim, which says that in the event that let's say I give you an interest-free loan. You're grateful for it. So, you know, you come over afterwards and you go and you wash my car. Because we're best friends now. That's Aser. That's Ribbis. Not only that, but the Gemara indicates that in the event that you usually didn't say good morning to me. You're a New Yorker. You don't say good morning to people. And now I lend you money and you say good morning to me. That's Ribbis Devarim as well. How far does that go? So most people say that you can't say thank you for a loan, because that's Ribbis Devarim. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach famously, so what do people say? Instead they say, Tisku l'mitzvahs. Right? You should be zeichet the mitzvahs. Don't say thank you. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in number 17 in his tshuva writes, they think the people got it all backwards. Why? He says, because thank you isn't worth anything. It's just basic decency. Right? So you say thank you. You know, you're not giving you anything. I'm just showing that I'm a mensch. Tisku l'mitzvahs is actually a bracha. So he thinks that you should say thank you and you shouldn't say tisku l'mitzvahs. There is a rumor that when the day that the Mincha Shlomo came out, there was a you cry. How could he write this? And he backed out of it. I personally think it's not true, because after Mincha Shlomo, Chayek Aleph came out. I remember when this happened. Chayek Beis came out. Chayek Gimel came out. He never printed a retraction. I think Rav Shlomo Zalman stood by his guns, etc. But that's a question. But there's a concept of Ribbis Devarim. You can't be nice to someone who gave you a loan. You got to be careful about this. There's a machokas mechabim maramo. What if someone is a mumer, is machal Shabbos barabim? Do you treat him like an akum or not? So the Shulchan Aruch says mumer mutter lahal voso beribis uva also lil vos mimenu beribis. You can charge him interest, but you can't take interest from him. But maybe mean you can't. You can charge him, but you can't pay him interest. Right, the Ramah says that that it's better to be machmir and not to do that at all. Rav Moshe here talks about inflation, which we mentioned in passing. Next, number 20. What's the second word? Be'inyin. What's that word?
Mortgage.
Mortgage, of course. Rav Moshe always has fun making it impossible for Israelis to read his tshuvas. So the question comes up, what about a mortgage? How do you take care of that? There's a lot to be said, but I don't have a lot of time. So therefore, there's something called a heter iska. A heter iska converts a loan into an investment, right? It's do not try it at home on your own. When you get smicha, you should not be doing gittin on your own. You should also not be doing a heter iska on your own. But basically, that is a complex way that a person goes and they turn it a loan into an investment. It is controversial, and therefore a person should try to avoid doing it whenever possible. Putting money in a bank, what's the story with the bank? Is a bank Jewish? Is a bank not Jewish? If I put money in the bank and I get ribbis, that is, in fact, the case that I am therefore a lender. If I am taking out a loan or a credit card, then I am paying ribbis. I am a borrower. A bank is a corporation. Who owns a corporation? Is a corporation the same as a partnership, a shutfus or not? That is a machokas. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach had a kula where he thought that in the case of a corporation where there's limited liability, you're allowed to accept ribbis, but you're not allowed to pay ribbis. Therefore, you're allowed to put your money in the bank and take interest, but you're not allowed to take out a loan. You can't take a mortgage out of a bank. The Menchas Yitzchak, among other, disagreed, and he assumed that you can't even do it the other way. That you can not only can't you pay interest, but you can't even go the other way. You can't even have interest being charged to the. Not only can't you pay interest, but you also cannot accept interest. You're not allowed to put money in a bank, at least without a heter iska. As a basic indication, here's what an iska contract looks like. It goes like this. I'll try to do it in under 2 minutes. An iska contract says that here, let's say you want to open a pizza store. You need $100,000 in order to do it. I go and I give you $50,000 as an interest-free loan, and the other $50,000 I invest in the business. Let's say I wanted 5% interest return. What I'll say is as follows. For $50,000, I own half of the business, but I am a silent partner. I don't know what money we're making. I'm leaving it up to you. Since I'm leaving it up to you, I am kind of stuck. So therefore, at the end of the year, I'm going to ask for books. The books will have to be certified by a Big Four accounting firm and also a major law firm. Not only that, but I then want you to take a shvua. I want you to swear on a Sefer Torah that, in fact, these numbers are true. Now, in the event that you tell me a number that is reasonable, I will be mochel this. So if you tell me we made 10% in the business, I'll accept that. No lawyers, no accountants, no shvua. What you're going to inevitably do is you're going to accept the 10%. You'll say, yes, we made 10%. That's it. It's a lot easier for you. Right? 10% of my $50,000 is $5,000. I get back my $50,000 loan for $50. I get back my $50,000 investment for $50. And I made $5,000. That's $105,000. The Heter Iska will get me my 5% return without me having to collect interest on me lending you money. Now, this works for businesses. It doesn't work as well for things like student loans. It doesn't work as well for things like mortgages because I'm not making money on my house. I'm living in my house. Therefore, there are other options. But I'm sure you'll all figure it out on your own because my time is up. Everybody should have a wonderful summer. All the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Yashikar.
Thank you, everybody.
Kol tov.